So, Jonah. Resume so far. Jonah has been commanded by God. The word of God comes to Jonah. And he says to Jonah, go to Nineveh to preach to them, the wicked, notorious city. And so Jonah goes miles the way, the other way, the furthest that the Israelites have ever traveled, and decides that he's going to stay there. Well, God throws a storm at him, and the sailors are pretty scared about all this, and eventually they discover that it is Jonah, and Jonah says the only way to get out of this is throw me over. And eventually, even after they've thrown all the cargo out, they eventually throw Jonah over, and peace comes on the ocean. And the sailors come to a faith in God. So God uses even disobedience to bring people to faith. And then a big fish swallows Jonah, and Jonah is in the big fish, and he realizes the mess that he's made. But he believes God is a God of forgiveness and restoration. And he says at the end, he believes that salvation is of God. And so God causes the fish to vomit him up on the land. And then God comes again in chapter 3 and says to Jonah, second time, go to Nineveh. Preach to them, this notorious city. So Jonah, finally, he's learnt his lesson. He's stinking, and he's yielding to God. And he goes to Nineveh, he preaches, he walks a part of a day's journey into Nineveh and says, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the word overthrown means annihilated. So 40 days. And it says, and I just find this amazing, it says right after that the people believed Jonah's God. And so there was remorse, there was sorrow over their sin. And so they put on sackcloth to show that they were sorry for their sin, and they seek God. They just pray that this disaster won't happen. And they talk to each other about it. Eventually gets to the king, and the king gets off his throne, puts on sackcloth and ashes, and sits in the dust, and sends a decree out to all the land to say, this is what you must do. You must, every man, woman, child, old and young, every beast of the field, to wear sackcloth, not to eat or drink, and to sincerely seek God, that he will not bring this disaster on us. Maybe he will have compassion. And so God sees that there is repentance, and he doesn't bring the disaster that he's going to bring upon them. So the whole thing about Jonah, who's now, he's pretty smelly, I reckon, having been thrown up from the whale. And so we're into chapter 3, and the title I've been given for chapter 3 is this: Can a City Be Saved? And those of you who read Jonah know that Nineveh eventually is saved from the destruction that God was going to pour out upon them. But what about our own city? What about Truro? Where is that? You know, sometimes we read the scriptures and we can align it with our own life, and in the place where we are. And so I'm going to ask you to come on a journey with me this morning and look at ourselves. I'm not going to, because I'm really awful for this. I tend to bash people a bit when I preach, and I don't mean to do that. I get so enthusiastic about it, and you're the ones who suffer. So I'm going to look at it. It's we. Okay, we're in this together. It's you and me. We're in this together. And We're going to read the text. Now, the text is from the Voice translation. It's no heretical translation at all. I find it really helpful, helps me to understand it. So if you'll follow it with me, I'm quite happy to read it. And this is the story in chapter 3. The word of the Eternal came to the prophet Jonah a second time. The Eternal One said, get up and go to that powerful and notorious city of Nineveh and pass on to them the message I'm giving you. Having learned his lesson, Jonah yielded to the Eternal's command and headed on the road to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was an important city, so large that it took 3 days to travel throughout it. Jonah had barely begun to walk the first day's journey into the city when he stopped, shouting out to the people of Nineveh, after 40 days, Nineveh will be annihilated. With that announcement, the people of Nineveh started to trust in Jonah's God. Every person, whether young or old, rich or poor, male or female, fasted and wore a sack as a sign of remorse for his past wickedness. The people of Nineveh told each other about this until the news made it all the way to the king of Nineveh, who ruled the entire Assyrian Empire. The king changed from his royal robes to sackcloth, and instead of sitting up high on his throne, he sat down low in the dust. He sent an official message to his subjects. This was the king's message. By order of the king of Nineveh and his nobles, no human being, animal, cattle, or flock may taste anything. None of them may go out to eat or drink any water. Instead, let both humans and animals cover themselves with sacks. Let all who belong to this empire call to God sincerely and turn from their wicked ways and violent acts. Perhaps Jonah's God will show mercy and relent from his judgment. Perhaps, out of compassion, he will not unleash his fierce anger against us, and we may be spared. God saw all they did and how they turned from their evil ways. So he relented and decided not to unleash the disasters he said he would through his servant Jonah. Jonah goes. He's a man who has been changed because his first step of disobedience. God comes to Jonah a second time. I love it that my God is the God of second chances. You know, there was one time I was an enemy of God. Paul says in Romans that I, because of the wickedness in my life, I was an enemy of God. An enemy. You know, we say it and we brush over the phrase, but I was at enmity with God. And God gave me an opportunity, gave me a chance because of his grace and his mercy. And he made it possible for me to come into relationship with him. But what about when we mess up? Maybe there's some of us here, you know, we do mess up. I hold my hands up because if you want to look at an example of a messer-upper, then that's me. You know, I do it. And every one of us, you know, we're a bit like Jonah. We don't always listen to what God has got to say to us. You know, I don't say this out of pride or arrogance, but I believe that as we meet together as a body of the church, there's a point in our time together when a preach takes place. And the word that God has put into the heart of the person who is speaking is a word for us as a body of the church. So it's for us individually too. The problem is that we tend to look at or listen to it and we go away and we might say, oh, that was a good sermon, that was nice, and I hope you might not say that, might say that this morning. We go away. But what happens to it? There has to be a response to what God is saying to us. The living God is speaking to us this morning. And it might not be through words I say, but it might be something that you are connecting with because of the Holy Spirit. God is here. We sang, Holy Spirit, come. We sang for Jesus to come. God says, where two or three meet together, I'm there. He's here this morning. And he's here to meet with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak into our lives because he doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants to lift us up and move us on. Jonah could have stayed where he was and eventually perished. But God wanted him to move on. He wanted to use him for his glory and so that Jonah would see the power of God before him. There was a time when, you know, when we deliberately ignored God. I did. I deliberately ignored him. But he gave me a second chance. And just like he said to that woman who was taken in adultery, go and sin no more. God wants us to live a life that is holy. And a light, because he says, you be holy because I'm holy. I want you to change your life, your lifestyle, the way that you live. I want you to live a life that reflects who I am. But that can only happen when God speaks to us and his word speaks into our life and changes us. Jonah He learnt his lesson. I wonder sometimes, we can't hide from God. There's no way we can hide from God. I'm just going to remind you of something because it flashed up to me this morning and I think I really need to read it. Just a few verses from Psalm 139. And it says this, O Eternal One, you have explored my heart and know exactly who I am. You even know the small details, like when I take a seat and when I stand up again. Even when I'm far away, you know what I'm thinking. You observe my wanderings and my sleeping, my waking and my dreaming. And you know everything I do in more detail than even I know. You know what was going to say long before I say it. It is true, Eternal One, that you know everything and everyone. You have surrounded me on every side, behind me and before me, and you have placed your hand gently on my shoulder. It is the most amazing feeling to know how deeply you know me inside and out. The realization of it is so great, I cannot comprehend it. Can I go anywhere from your spirit? Is there anywhere I can go to escape your watchful presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the realm of the dead, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I make my home in the most isolated part of the ocean, even then, you will be there to guide me. Your right hand will embrace me, for you're always there. There's no way that we can hide from God. No way whatsoever. He knows everything about it. And I'm glad about that, because if he knows everything about me, then we sing sometimes, it's a song we sing, nothing here is hidden. You know, God knows us. We're like a window. He can see everything. So we can't hide anything from him. So why do we do things and think that God doesn't see it? Why do we get involved in practices that God says that is not the best thing for your life? Why do we hide? Or why do we try to hide? We can't. Can't run from God. And God wants us to learn the lessons. You know, when our children, I'm speaking of those who have been parents and maybe even grandparents now, yay. You know, when our kids, go into a place where they start to, when we go into a place where they shouldn't be, and we don't want them to stay in that place because we want the best for them. And it's the same with God. He wants the best for us. And it hurts. And I wonder how we hurt the heart of God, you know, when we're disobedient and we don't do what he asked us to do. He's got his best plan for our life.